Rishinam, of the great sages, Buddhivirjanam, with great potential power, Api, in spite of, Sargam, the creation, Avistritam, not extended, Gyatva, knowing, Tat, that, Hridaye, in his heart, Bhuyaha, again, Chintayam Asa. He began to consider. Kaurava. O son of the Kurus. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O son of the Kurus, when Brahma saw that in spite of the presence of sages of great potency, there was no sufficient increase in population, he seriously began to consider how the population could be increased. No purport. I'll read the next verse. And the verse after that. Oho adbhutam etanme vyapritasyapi nityada nayedante prajanunam daivamatri vigatakam. Brahma thought to himself, alas, it is wonderful that in spite of my being scattered all over, there is still insufficient population throughout the universe. There is no other cause for this misfortune but destiny. Evam yuktakritas tasya daivam chavikshatas tada kasya rupam abud dveda yat kayam abhichakshate. While he was thus absorbed in contemplation and was observing the supernatural power, two other forms were generated from his body. They are still celebrated as the body of Brahma. Purport. Two bodies came out from the body of Brahma. One had a mustache, and the other had swollen breasts. No one can explain the source of their manifestation, and therefore until today they are known as the Kayam, or the body of Brahma, with no indication of their relationship as his son or daughter. Brahma repeatedly has to stop and think. Unlike the Supreme Lord, he doesn't automatically understand everything. A devotee doesn't know everything the way God knows everything. Although it is said, Yasmin vigyate sarvam eva vigyatam bhavati. If you know the Supreme, then everything is known. But it isn't in the way that God immediately knows everything. You know, living entity never becomes omnipotent or omniscient the way God is. Lokavyaparavarjam is one sutra of the Vedanta. That the living entity, when he's liberated, he of course gains freedom. And he regains his original potency. And, of course, if he's practicing devotional service, the Supreme Lord imparts special potency on the devotee. The jiva has his own potency, but that's very little. But when he's in contact with the Supreme in a personal relationship, then he gets much more potency. Still, there's some limit. And that's, Vyasadeva says in that sutra, lokavyapara varjam. The work of creating a whole universe, that is too much. Even a liberated soul doesn't gain that power, that he becomes Of course, Brahma is almost seems to be on that level, that he's creating a universe, but he's not doing it independently. He's just carrying out a plan that's already created. So a living entity on his own cannot be the Lord of the universe. Now, Sri Vaishnavas understand this differently than we do. This is the point at which we diverge from the Sri Vaishnava philosophy. Up to that, we're in agreement on almost everything. But what happens, what is the scope of the freedom of liberated soul, that we have some disagreement about. They don't want to say that the liberated soul is limited in any way. And therefore they even object to our doctrine of rasa, that each soul as it, in his own sarup, has a particular relationship with God, and that is fixed. To Sri Vaishnavas complain that assigning only one rasa to a jiva is limiting his freedom. He should be able to enjoy all the rasas when he's liberated. But that's the prerogative of God. And similarly, as Vyasadeva says here, we don't get the prerogative to be the creator, independent creator of the whole cosmos, the way God is. Mahavishnu has that power, that freedom. We don't, even in a liberated condition. But the Sri Vaishnavas interpret that differently than we do. They take it that, okay, we can't be all-powerful, but the freedom, the living entity in his free liberated condition should be all-knowing. There's no specific restriction, no specific contradiction of that in the Vedanta Sutra. In fact, Gyata Eva, living entity, is a knower by nature. So if he's free, he should, in his liberated condition, he should be able to know everything just like God knows everything. Just he can't control and create everything like God does. But we disagree with that. Lokavyapara means the business of creation, but creation doesn't just involve being all-powerful, it also involves being all-knowing. The creator is Abhigyak Swarat. He's not only Swarat, able to do whatever he wants, but in order to be Swarat, you must first of all be Abhigya. How can you do everything if you don't know everything? How can you do anything you want unless you know whatever you want to know automatically? To be omnipotent, you must be omniscient. So the two go together, as stated in the first verse of the Bhagavatam, Abhigyak Swarat. Satyam Param, the absolute truth, is all-knowing and all-powerful, able to do everything. If the living entity were also all-knowing, anyway, and being all-knowing is also the private domain of God. The living entity never attains that, even in liberation. That's our philosophy. And it's on those two points that we disagree with the Sri Vaishnavas. They say the liberated soul does know everything, literally. We say no. His being is knowing everything by knowing Krishna must be understood in a qualified sense. Or has to be relativized. We understand it that whatever living the pure devotee needs to know, Krishna informs him. Not that he has it at his own disposal. Infinite knowledge of everything. But what he needs to know, Krishna lets him know when he needs to know it. That means that the pure devotee also may be in ignorance. Just like Arjuna was in ignorance, it's not just a show. Before the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was confused. After the battle, Yudhishthira took his turn to be confused. He was very upset over how much violence had been committed for him, for his own sake, to put him on the throne. And therefore he considered himself guilty of very serious sin and didn't think that he should occupy the throne. He refused for several months. So he was in confusion. Any living entity, even pure devotee, can and often is in ignorance. But Krishna relieves him of that ignorance. That's his lila. It's Yogamaya. By the power of Yogamaya, the pure devotees are put into ignorance. By the power of Mahamaya, the non-devotees are put into ignorance. The difference is that Yogamaya is benign. Yogamaya doesn't cause a suffering. The ignorance imposed by Yogamaya creates the greatest bliss. The devotees experience intimate relationship with Krishna because of the power of Yogamaya, because they can forget that he's God and enjoy an intimate personal relationship with him. How can you act or think that you're God's father or mother if you're fully aware of how he's God? Devaki and Vasudev had some awareness, more than Nanda and Yashoda, about how Krishna is God. Therefore, they couldn't have the same intimate relationship with him, not as intimate. So Yogamaya, when we're fortunate, Yogamaya blesses us with ignorance. This divine ignorance. And in the pastimes of the Lord, we see it working in many wonderful ways, that Yogamaya, in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he was a young householder living in Navadvipa, hundreds of his associates were living there with him, and they didn't recognize him as the Supreme Lord. He had not revealed himself. He had not started the Sankirtan movement yet. And he was pretending to be an ordinary Brahmin pundit. And his eternal devotees were also thinking that, covered by Yogamaya. Only gradually, not gradually, but practically, gradually he recovered his devotees one by one. There's a certain time, specific time at which he began to reveal himself. But before and after that, he was beginning to privately awaken some of his devotees to who he was. And they were coming back, in a sense, coming back to recognition of their eternal relationship with him. And this went on for years. Even after he went to Puri, he was recovering devotees one by one. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is the big example. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, separation and reunion. This is the highest ecstasy of Vipralamba Bhava. And a manifestation of that is the devotees living even in proximity with the Lord and not recognizing him by the power of Yogamaya. And then eventually, you know, that relationship being reestablished. When the relationship is forgotten and reestablished, there's a special ecstasy in it. This is not like the conditioned souls being in ignorance, rebelling against the Lord. Those devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eternal associates, didn't rebel against him and therefore be put into ignorance. This is the benign power of Yogamaya. It's a different dynamic. But it shows that every living entity is subject to be put into illusion, into ignorance. Therefore, the living entity is never omniscient. How can you be omniscient if you're so susceptible to being confused? That's our condition. We'll never undo it. By practicing Krishna consciousness or by practicing any other discipline, we're not going to accomplish that. What we will accomplish is to gain Krishna's shelter and the shelter of his internal potency, of which Yogamaya is an important aspect. So we won't want to fight against Yogamaya, we want to submit to it. And if we're going to be confused, let's be confused for Krishna. That should be the attitude of the devotees. Therefore, it's not our sadhana really to practice jnana. Jnana and karma are not even recognized by Rupa Goswami as angas of devotional service, not even as minor aspects. Watering tulsi is a very important aspect. There are other minor aspects, like worshipping the Dhatri and Ashwata trees. You know, minor aspects. But they're recognized as angas. These are devotional practices. But jnana and karma, these big, important processes that have millions of followers, all the jnanis, all the yogis are following jnana, and all the karmis are following these processes. And Rupa Goswami refuses to recognize them as even angas, as even subsidiary devotional practices. No, he gives his reasons why. I don't remember exactly what he says, but basically, in and of themselves, jnana and karma are not favorable to the development of love of Krishna. It's not in the devotee's interest to try to know everything. Certainly not in his interest to try to accomplish everything or to gain control and power in this material world by karma. That doesn't help us in our progress toward Krishna. And trying to know everything, the endeavor of a jnani, in itself is not favorable to devotional service. It's actually contrary. It's actually harmful for a devotee to try to become a jnani. Not only is it a waste of time, but it involves a distortion of our mentality. Devotee's business is not to try to understand everything. It's to try to become attracted to Krishna. So we're cultivating knowledge, but the aim of our cultivation of knowledge should be to become attracted to Krishna. If we become attracted to Krishna and absorbed within our heart in Krishna and his activities and his devotees, then our consciousness becomes purified, and then we understand everything in proper perspective. It's not a matter of how much information we have crammed in our heads. It's a matter of the perspective in which we see things. When we see without envy, without greed, without lust, when our pure intelligence is purified from those obstacles, then we see things, then we understand things properly, automatically. And whatever knowledge, whatever information or power of intelligence we may lack, Krishna will provide that. Matak smritir jnanam apohanam cha. This is all coming from me in my aspect as the super soul. From me come knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Not just from me and also from some other people, or from me sometimes, other times from some other source. No, all the time. Our prime source of these basic requirements of functioning, properly working intelligence. We cannot understand anything properly. We cannot function properly unless we can remember things. We have to remember who we are and what the aim of our life is. If we suffer amnesia, then our life stops. All our endeavors just become stopped because we forgot who we were and what we're trying to do with life. So Krishna, every morning, cures us of amnesia and reminds us who we are. Or constantly he's doing it, giving us this remembrance. And jnanam, intelligence, the power to understand and discriminate. And also forgetfulness. If we don't forget, we also can't function. I've done horrible things in my previous lives, and I've suffered horrible punishments. If I have to think about that, then I'll be too, horrified and terrified to go on with my life. We have to put that aside. Krishna helps us. He gives us forgetfulness. Forget all the horrible things about the material world so we can just go ahead with serving Krishna. If we're absorbed in the terror of material existence, then we'll be just stunned and we won't be able to serve. So Krishna mercifully, as the super soul, gives us all these. And that's ongoing from minute to minute. In everybody's case, it's the super soul that provides this. Nobody else has the power. The Supreme Lord only. So we're totally dependent from minute to minute for our ability to recognize, to be in touch with reality, to understand anything properly. And that proper understanding is required to be able to do anything proper. We have to know, we have to have proper understanding and perception before we can proceed to act on anything. So therefore, we're actually, in all ways, all the time, dependent on Krishna. Therefore, a devotee puts aside the endeavors of karma and jnana as detrimental, as irrelevant to the actual aim of his life. Actually, Uttam Das Thakur says it very strongly. karma kanda, jnana kanda, kebalo bishera bhanda. These pursuits of fruitive success and philosophical understanding, they're actually just vessels full of poison. Omida bulia jibokai. And if someone thinks they're nice, nectarian, and drinks of them, then he is committing suicide. And worse than drinking ordinary poison, he's committing suicide repeatedly, because he gets caught up in the cycle of repeated birth and death. Not just one dying, but repeated dying. Nana joni shashatapide. He has to recycle through various species of life. Not only the same thing over and over again, but you don't know what you're going to get next. Now, it's bad enough what we are now, but with next life we can be something much more terrible. Nana jonius, revolving through various species of life, kadario bokko no kore, and we eat all sorts of garbage. And, you know, if we become a pig, then our diet is going to be not the same as it is now. Tara jama atak pate jaya, and that way we descend into lower and lower conditions of material existence, head first. So that's the result of being attracted and attached to karma and jnana. Rejected by the Vaishnavacharyas. And devotees also. That should be what we should be aware of, or rather wary of. What we should be afraid of is being distracted by karma and jnana. We try to stay straight on the path of pure devotional service as much as possible. Okay, so I'll stop. Any questions or comments?
Yes, please. So there is a saying, ignorance is bliss. So is this ignorance equal to that ignorance you describe? I mean, in the sense of...
You know who made up that saying?
No.
George Orwell, 1984, a novel by George. You must have read it. They must have taught it in the Soviet curriculum. It's a socialist book.
Socialist?
Well, I mean, he was something of a socialist. George Orwell. 1984, that's an anti-karma. No, I'm sorry. He was an anti-totalitarian. I'm sorry. Yes, I probably never heard of it. Anyway, ignorance is bliss. What was the question?
So is this ignorance equal to the ignorance you have described, which also brings bliss? I mean, just what is...
Which one? The material or the spiritual?
No, you described the devotees are, covered by ignorance, and that brings bliss. So, and we say also, ignorance is bliss.
No, well, when George Orwell said that, he was being very sarcastic. This is the government telling the people, stay in ignorance, ignorance is bliss. Don't try to understand what's going on. Don't read any books. Don't try to, which we're giving you all our version of the reality. Don't try to figure it out for yourself. So that was a perverted understanding. It was intentionally promoted by this fictional government to keep the people under control. But no, that's false. The proposition that material ignorance is bliss, how can that be true? So we have to be careful to distinguish between the two kinds of ignorance. One of them is going to get us in serious trouble, and the other one will perfect us. We have to overcome material ignorance. But that comes, it comes from Divya Gyan, but Divya Gyan is not something you can squeeze out of some source of information. You can look up Divya Gyan on the web, but I don't think you're going to get Divya Gyan just by surfing the internet. It doesn't come from poking your nose in books or looking around. It comes Divya Gyan Videpo Koshito. The pure Vaishnav gives you his blessings, and then Divya Gyan awakens in your heart. That's the real process. But that's what we need to do, to get rid of material ignorance, which will cause us only suffering and confusion, not bliss. Okay, anything else?
So Yoga Maya covers Yashoda Maya and Nanda Maharaj. And doesn't it cover Devaki? I mean, what is
it? No, it's different ways of covering them. it does cover them, because they're also not only thinking that he's God. They wouldn't be able to be his parents at all. It's just that they're not as heavily covered, or not covered in the same way. Devaki and Vasudeva. They also enjoyed, but after Krishna grew up, then he came back to Devaki and Vasudeva. And the grown-up Krishna and Balaram stayed with them. So the relationship was there, but not with the same intensity as the relationship that Nanda and Yashoda had. So the Yogamaya is acting in Dwarka also. And, you know, everyone's thinking Krishna is our family member. That's also Yogamaya. But it's heavier Yogamaya in Vrindavan. Yogamaya and Vrindadevi, her partner, they're running the whole show in Vrindavan. Yes?
Yes, sometimes they say that there's no influence of Yogamaya in Vaikuntha.
No influence of Yogamaya in Vaikuntha.
In the sense that
who said that? Where is that said? I have to question, where is that said?
I never read that, but people say it.
Okay, well, people say, no, we gotta be careful. People say, but it's not written anywhere.
Yeah.
It's gotta be written somewhere then. You know, where do our acharyas say such a thing? There's no influence of Yogamaya. Yoga is one of the 16 yoga, maybe not be the same as Yogamaya, but there is yoga, Shakti, one of the 16 potencies of Narayan. Nope, I don't agree with that.
Well,
maybe you can show me, you know, from Shastra.
I never read that.
Yeah. Yes, maybe.
Or from Prabhupada's statement, yeah.
I just first time heard this, but maybe in the sense that devotees never considered Vaikuntha that Lord is the
that's what they say.
Son, I don't know, whatever. Just they always know me, respectful, mood, liberation. No such a deal is like in Vrindavan. He is our friend, he is our lover, I mean, whatever. Maybe just comes from that point of view.
I think that's not the only influence of Yogamaya, that there's also a different kind of influence in Vaikuntha. But maybe I'm wrong, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just have to ask, show me. You know, whoever you heard that from, ask him where he heard it from.
Yeah.
And try to trace it to some actual Shastric source, or from one of our, you know, acharyas. Yes, I'm sorry.
No, I just didn't remember it. Even Lakshmi, who is a consort of Vishnu, she never, how to say, completely forgets that he is the Lord. I mean, she serves in the mood of.
Yes, but that means that the influence of Yogamaya is lighter, but it doesn't mean there's no Yogamaya.
Only maybe in relation with Lakshmi Devi, but all other spiritual.
Everybody else in Vaikuntha has no personal relationship with the Lord. It's just completely, you know, distant.
No. Well, I just elaborated on that question. I'm not saying that no personal relationships. I'm saying not just like we talked about. He's not my friend. Like, you know, even in Brahmavatamrita, they were chastising Gopal Kumar. Don't ever. Just don't ever even think to do like what you
did. I'm just proposing. I'm not ready to present an argument.
I just haven't figured out, but
I'm questioning. Isn't there also Yogamaya, also in the realm of awe and reverence? Awe and reverence doesn't mean no Yogamaya, as far as I understand. But maybe I'm wrong. So I'm just asking. Show me. You know, show me the actual Guru Shastra Sadhu evidence. Because, you know, some devotee's saying it, but who and, you know, what is he basing it on? I'm just, you know, to me it's a big question mark. Doubtful to me. I'm not denying it, and I'm not ready to argue against it.
But like when you were talking about Devaki and Vasudeva, but also like I kind of understand like in Lagu Bhagavatam Lila and in Radhakrishna Dhamadesh Deepika, then Rupa Goswami says there in both places that, you know, that Vasudev's another name for Nanda Maharaj and Devaki's another name for Yashoda. then you get like these slippers in Bhagavatam, like when was it David Yuen's name, and then you go to Kumaraya,
well,
like mixing up of the Vrindavan.
Jayati Jana Nivasa Devaki Janmavado. So Devaki Janmavado, there's two different interpretations, whether that's referring to Krishna as the son of Devaki or Krishna as the son of Yashoda. And therefore it's said Yashoda is also, Devaki is also a name of Yashoda.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that Devaki is really Yashoda. That Yashoda expands into Devaki. That's not, nobody's saying that.
Yeah,
it's just
yeah.
the same name can be referred to two different people.
Right. But like, I'm asking like in Sukhas, like in that Bhagavatam Sukha, so the first time they are. Devaki Nandana
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 Nandana Nandana
seems to be
Krishnaya Vasudeva Devaki
Nanda
Gopakumar.
Yeah.
Well, things Kunti is saying this, and Kunti has connection with both Krishna in different places. She's princess of the Bhoja dynasty. So she's connected to the Yadus and the Vrishnis. Yeah, so she has connection with, you know, to, well, really Hastinapur. But in Hastinapur, Krishna comes in his Dwarka feature. So she has relationship with Krishna in both ways, you know, in the Vrindavan mood and the... actually, mostly in the Hastinapur mood. I'm sorry, she's talking to him in Dwarka anyway. So she's... Okay, I'm sorry. I'm confused. She's not in... She doesn't. Kunti is not in Vrindavan. It's Rohini who. No, I'm sorry, Hare Krishna. I forget that. It's Kalindi who later went. That's totally. Anyway, yeah. Kunti is just, you know, a devotee of Hastinapur who knows Krishna, who comes from Dwarka to visit them. So the devotees in Dwarka are aware of Krishna's relationship with the Vrajvasis. And they glorify that relationship, just like the queens in Hastinapur were glorifying the gopis. Bhishmadev glorifies the gopis. So in the same prayer, they can address Krishna as the son of Devaki and also the son of Nanda Maharaj. That is not completely contradictory, it's just there's a mixture of different bhavas there. But that's possible. It can be compatible. The mood... The bhava of Vraja and the bhava of Mathura Dwarka are not totally incompatible. Not you, you know, you can never mention them both in the same shloka.
Right.
Especially if it's a stotra, it's just, or, you know, glorifying Krishna as having many, many different qualities and features. Then you can throw otherwise incompatible things together. There may be a prayer that glorifies Krishna in his different avatars. And in a few shlokas, you may mention 10 different avatars. So those avatars have totally different bhavas, but in that context, it's not incompatible. You know, in a list of, you know, it's glorifying Krishna in his variety. So to mention a variety of bhavas in one place is not necessarily a fault, if that's what you're intending to do. It's like Dashavatar Stotra or some other prayer, you know, where even in one verse, there are several different avatars mentioned. So, therefore, you can also mention Krishna and Dwarka and Krishna and Vrindavan in the same verse if you do it properly. There's, you know, Rupa Goswami describes at the end of the Bhakti Visamita Sindhu how to properly and mix rasas and how they become improperly mixed. Rasa basa and also rasa, whatever you call it, shabalyam, you know, the combination of rasas that's acceptable. Does that answer to it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so we stop. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.